Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Gov Talk Podcast. Got another preview episode for you. Obviously, you all know the Govs are taking on Abilene Christian Wildcats this weekend in Abilene, Texas. It's a rank v rank matchup, one of the best FCS games of the weekend, in my opinion. You have in the Stats Perform FCS poll, the Govs are at 18 and the Wildcats are at 14. And then in the AFCA poll, the Govs are 20th and the Wildcats are 15th. So not a whole lot separating the two in the rankings. Like I said, rank matchups are always fun. Conference matchups are always fun. So first dose of conference play, first ranked game. So should be a good one, Chris. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's I got to listen to some couple podcasts, FCF podcasts earlier today, and this game was on both those podcasts, this game was one of their ones to watch for the weekend. So definitely I would say very safe assumption this would be the number one primary game for within the conference this weekend.
Yeah, they, you know, you always want to start off conference play on a high note, and what better note could you start off with than getting a ranked win on the road? So, big game.
You'd like to see a repeat of 2022 when Govs went on the road first conference game and beat Stephen F. Austin, and which was an excellent game. And that really just kind of carried over from there. So, yeah, it can give you some good momentum.
For sure. And this is interesting because if the Govs win, it would be the first win against a nationally ranked opponent for Coach Ferris.
Yep.
So that would be cool. That would be a big, big thing for him. We've only played each other one time, and that was last year.
Yep.
In 2024, Abilene won a very infuriating game. It was yep. The Govs led by multiple scores at the half, ended up losing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, so going to Abilene off that massive performance against Moorhead last week. You know, we talked about that in the recap, but you had 700 yards of offense. You had over 400 rushing yards. You had five players get at least 50 rushing yards. Seven people had a rushing touchdown. Like, it was nuts. It was a great performance. Exactly what you needed. Confidence builder in heading into this game. So, yeah. So, Chris, why don't you tell us what happened the last time we played Abilene?
So, I mean, it was probably one of the Govs' better games all year long. Within the 2024 season, Abilene did get us in total yards, 526 to 415. I think that was one of Austin's better days. And it was also kind of later in the year because he got better as the year went on.
Yeah.
308 passing yards as opposed to Abilene's 355. And, you know, one thing that we really criticized the 2024 team last year was penalties. And this was one of their least penalized games. And you see where they had an opportunity to win the game because of that. So only six penalties in that game. Jaden Barnes, I think he had at least one touchdown. It may have been a multiple touchdown game.
Yeah. So
he had two. Yeah. He had two 58 yard pass in the first and then the 73 yard pass. Both from Austin Smith in the first half. So
yeah, so
it was a very exciting game.
The offense, like you said, was phenomenal. I mean, that was one of Smith's best games. He threw for 400 against North Alabama, so it wasn't his best, but it was close. He had 308 yards, two passing touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown. Like we said, led it 27-14 at the half, and then you lose 34-35, just gut-wrenching.
Yeah, I think that North Alabama and Abilene Christian game are probably two of his best games of the year. And then, you know, like we said, you know, more than once, you know, he improved drastically as the year went on. So, but yeah, this was definitely, those two games were definitely one of his better performances. So,
yeah, I mean, no offense to Austin, but hopefully he doesn't have to play in this game, because that would probably mean something bad happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we are just beating them too bad. So, all right. So, like we said, you know, last time, and Abilene was a good team last year, by the way. So that, you know, Austin Peay finished 4-8, but Abilene finished 9-5, and we still played them close. They won the UAC. They beat North Arizona in the first round of the playoffs, and they lost to North Dakota State. So, I mean, that's a team that won a playoff game last year, and you should have beat them. So. Yeah, they're a good team this year. We'll go over what they've done so far. It's a little bit harder to get a read on them, though, because of who they've played. So, like, in their first game, the first game is disappointing to me, I think, if you're an Abilene fan. I mean, you just get absolutely blown out by Tulsa. And that was a game that a lot of people picked as, like, the most likely FCS over FBS upset. And they end up getting smoked. And then, you know, Stephen F. Austin's usually a pretty solid team. And they beat them by a touchdown. And then they lost to TCU by 20, but I don't really think you can knock them too much for that. I mean, TCU is a good team. Their quarterback, that was what was impressive to me. Stone Earl is Abilene's quarterback. He was Marshall's quarterback in the past, and he actually had a really good game against TCU last week. So he threw for – he completed 22 of 29 passes for 276 yards and two touchdowns against TCU. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no picks either. Two touchdowns. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, and then like their running back, sorry, Rovon Banks Jr. ran for 105 yards and a touchdown against TCU, and JB Mitchell III had five catches, 88 yards and a touchdown. So their offense, I mean, their offense played pretty well against a quality opponent. So. You know, they haven't, you know, they didn't get to play. Obviously, TCU's way better than Middle Tennessee State, but so it's kind of hard to fault them too hard. But that Tulsa game is weird, though, that because Tulsa proceeded to get smacked by New Mexico and Navy. So I don't think Tulsa is very good. But yeah, we'll see. I got some Gov's notes. So from the two deep, so Wiley's going to be starting again, as far as I know. He did not play last week. I asked Coach Ferris in the presser after the game because I saw Wiley on the field before the game in crushes, and I asked him after the game, like, what that was about. And he said it was kind of a precautionary thing. So Miles Wiley should be back out there this week, which is good. Although in his absence, you know, we had In Wiley's absence, Markel Redding started at free safety, and he actually led the team in tackles. So he had a pretty good game in Wiley's absence. Also, something else I think was notable is it looks like officially Joshua Sales Jr. is the left tackle going forward. So he had been – I don't know if you know this, Chris, but there had been an or all season. It was him or Eli Sutton were the starting – but he did get the start in every game so far, and it looks like he's impressed enough that he'll be the starter going forward. So your line is going to be the same as it has been. It's going to be Sales, Bowden, Curtin, Hilliard, and Bach. That's your starting line. And then there was a change on defense, which I thought was interesting. So last week, I'm sure some of you noticed, last weekend against Moorhead, there was a little bit of a change at the linebacker core. So Montrez Smith Jr. actually got the start over Davion Blackwell. Blackwell started the first two games, and it looks like Smith has taken over that weak side linebacker now. So another little interesting note. Injury front, everything looks pretty good. Stonebreaker is still out. You know, we saw him in a sling the first week against halftime at Middle Tennessee State. He was in a sling on the sideline. He's still out. So that's that. Any notes there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking up, you know, in the matchup. I got some matchup notes. I don't know if you have that with you or not.
Oh, but, yeah, I got some good stuff.
Yeah, so looks like, and if I steal your thunder, I apologize.
No, go for it.
But looks like scoring offense, Govs are 19th in the FCS. Abilene is 77th.
Yep.
And then
and points per game, yeah.
And points per game, yeah. That's what I was just about to say. Yep. And then scoring total defense, Govs are actually ranked 6th in the FCS as opposed to 91st for Abilene Christian. So pretty good notes right there. Third down efficiency, Govs are 11th in the FCS at 49%. Third down defense, they're 8th. At 27%, and it goes our 24th in the FCS converting two or the third fourth downs. Two for three on fourth down. Excuse me, I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but
so pretty much the only like notable stat that Abilene has the upper hand right now is I'm pretty sure that's the only one. Yeah,
third down offense
and passing offense yards per game. They're 43rd, we're 52nd. So, I mean, it's, you know, give or take. But, yes, rushing offense. Obviously, last week's performance is obviously going to inflate the numbers a little bit. You had Austin Peay's 12th in rushing yards per game. You know, when you go for 400, that'll definitely help that. Abilene's 53rd. They do have a good running back, though. Rovon Banks is a solid running back. I mean, if you can run for 100 against TCU, I'm not going to overlook you. And then their passing defense is really not very good. They're way better against the run than they are against the pass, which is good because usually we're better as a passing team. Yeah, they've let up a lot of points. I mean, they let Tulsa put up a lot of points. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. That's – go ahead.
You'd like to see Parsons exploit that, and you know, and then you know, as we saw against Moorhead, granted it was an inferior opponent, you know, they got the Govs got the run game going, so that only opens up your offense even more. So, hopefully, they can exploit that this weekend.
Yeah, I'd like to see Chris do some stuff with his legs again because we saw last week he can be explosive if he has to be.
Yep.
So I think that'll be a fun dynamic, and it'd also be cool to see, you know, what the running backs look like against a quality opponent, you know, because we've seen them dominate against a terrible opponent. We haven't really seen, you know, Cortland Simmons had a fantastic freaking game last week. He was the Tenova player of the week. Like, he caught passes, ran for touchdowns. He was all over the place. So will he be able to do that against a quality opponent? We'll see. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the running back rotation because last week, obviously they're not all going to play again, but last week you had like six or seven different people run the ball. You had Caden Williams, you had Isaiah Groves, you had Cortland Simmons. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle the running back rotation.
I got a question that I'm sure somebody's going to ask, so I'll ask you what you think.
Okay.
Do you think he'll use Austin Smith any? Even if Parsons is, you know, nothing's happened to Parsons or anything, just throw him in there for a play or so.
It wouldn't surprise me just because he had so much success against them last year. And he had, you know, he is a veteran quarterback. I mean, he's a fifth year guy. Like, he knows how to read a defense. I do think there could be some packages like that. And I think there also will be some packages with Bond on offense because we saw how explosive that can be. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see some exotic looks.
It's almost like you're reading my mind because I figured he had such a good game against him last year. I thought Ferris might try and throw him in there this year. So, yeah, they would not surprise me if they use Austin at some point in this game.
Yeah, I mean, whatever throws them off and gives us an edge, I'm all for it. So what's another interesting little stat is Austin Peay's only played in Texas one other time, and we won that game. So we're 1-0 in Texas. That was at Stephen F. Austin in 2023.
It was a fantastic game.
And then something else cool. So I don't know if we've even talked about this, but Will Hardrick, you know,
yes,
unfortunately passed away.
Yep.
Every week somebody's been wearing the number 0 in honor of him. Do you want to know who's wearing it this week?
I'm trying to remember who's won it the first 3 weeks.
Okay, so the first week was Kendall Ball. The second week was Ellis Ellis. And then last week was Davion Hood. This week is Chris Parson.
I was actually going to say that, but I wasn't. I figured that'd be too easy.
So how cool would that be? Starting off conference play, easy. Honoring your teammate. Have a game, Chris Parson. Have a
Absolutely.
Game.
That is awesome. Man,
that is awesome. I think it's – and you know what? Chris is another guy. We talked about Austin's experience. Chris is a guy that played in the SEC, okay? Like, he ain't going to be intimidated going to Abilene. He's not – there's nobody I'd rather have under center than Chris Parson for this game. Something else that somebody's asked me about, which I wanted to talk about, is about the two wide receivers that got a lot of attention before the season, Walker Merrill and Nate Spillman, both from Tennessee. Neither one of them are listed on the report yet. Neither one of them are listed on the depth chart yet. And neither one of them got in the game last week, which everybody else on the roster pretty much did. So I don't really know. I will ask him if they don't play this week. I will ask him after the game.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that myself because somebody asked me earlier this week and I really didn't have an answer for him because I was kind of puzzled about that myself.
So Walker has there's a reason he's not playing. I'll just leave it at that. Right. Spillman, I don't know about, but I will say with the receivers, you haven't really – missed anything. I mean, Garnett, Kirk, and Jaden Robinson have been phenomenal. So there's really not like – it's not like we desperately need another receiver, you know. So – and it was also cool because Alec Pell's back, and that's another receiving threat at the tight end spot behind Jackson. And last weekend, Julian Randolph – I don't know if you noticed that, but towards the end of the game, Julian Randolph actually got to play. And he's the tight end from North Carolina. He's massive. Like, when he was on the field, everybody, like, took notice. Like, you can just tell he was an FBS guy. Like, he was bigger than everybody else on the field.
Yeah, Coach Quarles has done a great job with that tight end group there, coming over from ETSU, which was not really a popular hire when he came here just – because, you know, ETSU just had such a horrible season under his last year. But he's done really well with the tight ends.
I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I think this is the most talented tight end room we've ever had.
I agree. No, I agree.
And we've had some great wide receiver seasons, but I do think this is probably the deepest wide receiver room we've ever had, too.
Yeah.
Depth-wise, just all around.
No, I agree completely. I mean, it's been a while since I can remember some, you know, having some good tight ends like we've had this year. And that's just in the first three games. So they'll be fun to watch going throughout the remainder of the season.
So we'll give you guys some names to watch for Abilene. So they did have four guys make the preseason all-conference team. You have tight end Jeb Castles, defensive lineman Chris Wright, linebacker Will Schaefer, and defensive back Dorian Plumlee. Will Schaefer is a stud at linebacker. Like, he might be an NFL guy. He was one of the only unanimous selections to the preseason all-conference team. So that's a legit guy in the middle of the defense. And then we already kind of talked about it, but their quarterback, Stone Earl, I mean, he put up numbers against TCU. It's a guy that has experience playing at Marshall. You know, that's a that's a guy that's played, that's experienced, and he's played some big games. So that's, you can't overlook that, veteran quarterback. And then running back Rovon Banks is a beast. That's definitely something that I think, we'll get to this in a minute, but one of the keys I think is going to be shutting down the run game, because we haven't really, I mean, we shut down Moorhead last week, but Moorhead is horrible. I think this will be a real test, because this is a real, it's a real team. No offense to Moorhead.
Something that stands out to me with Abilene is, you know, in 2024, they played five top 25 teams in their season, and they've already played one this year in Stephen F. Austin. And a lot of those have been, a lot of those matchups were at home. So at Wildcat Stadium in Abilene. So, I don't think they will be, I don't think they'll be too worried about the ranking from Austin Peay side of things.
No, but I think Austin Peay is aware of it, and I think they will be extra extra motivated, because.
Oh yeah,
you know, 100%.
Yeah,
you know, they got, Austin Peay got some flowers for beating Middle, but I think pretty much everybody kind of understands Middle's not very good, and you don't really get any credit for beating Moorhead, even as convincing as we did it. It's still just Moorhead, so.
Yeah.
This, I think, is kind of circled on the guys' calendars as like, okay, well, we need to get a good start to conference play against a ranked team, predicted to finish second in the conference. Like, you know, you win this game and you're a top 10 team, I think.
Yeah. I think if you win this game, you got some eyes on, you know, you got some eyes on you right now, but you'll have a lot more eyes on you if you can win this game.
Yeah, for sure. And like, we kind of talked about this already too, but when you have, we thought in the preseason show, in the preview show, we thought that after this game, after the Abilene trip, we thought that that was going to be like the easy part of the schedule.
Yeah.
Because you have Utah Tech, West Georgia, back-to-back home games. Only problem is both of those teams look a lot better than we thought they were going to.
Yeah, they've had good seasons so far. West Georgia, you know, I hate to say one's been better than the other, but man, West Georgia has just come out of nowhere.
And well, and to be fair, just... to be fair though, the two games after that at EKU and home against North Alabama, those look easier. So it kind of balances out, because EKU has not impressed me at all. And North Alabama, we knew wasn't going to be good. So, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's still definitely one that you want to get under. Like we said, I mean, you go to Abilene and win on the road against a ranked team. That looks impressive no matter who you are. So,
yeah,
it's definitely a good one to get under on your resume.
Yeah, I mean, and you can come out of this weekend 1-0 with the next two games at home. You have a very good opportunity to go 3-0 into Richmond. You know, it will really help us conference wise and playoff wise. You know, hate to say this is a big game, but this is a big game this weekend. So,
well, I'm gonna say this. I mean, Tarleton looks like an absolute juggernaut, right?
Yeah.
I think if you have any hopes of contending, you have to go 2-1 in the next three games.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, you lose to Abilene, you know, nobody's going to dock you too hard. I think as long as it's a close game, we'll still be ranked if we lose this weekend. But you have to go sweep your two-game homestand if you lose.
Yeah.
So with that being said, give me a couple players to watch for Austin Peay. Who are you expecting to have a big game?
I mean, is it too easy to say Chris Parsons?
No.
No. Chris Parsons would be one of them. And then running game-wise, I would love to see the Govs continue that running game that they did, that they added on last weekend. So I would just say the run game in general, I would just like to see them continue the success that they had last week. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit better of an opponent, but – I would like to see him continue to improve on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not obviously expecting 400 rushing yards, but it would be nice to get 100.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that would be an improvement.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, that'd be mine.
So I think something that I think, like my players to watch, is kind of cheating, but I think it's important, that the entire defensive line, because for two reasons. One, like I said, their running game is pretty good, so we got to win the battles up front. And two, their offensive line is not very good. Tulsa got 5 sacks on them. And if you know anything about Tulsa, I mean, Tulsa isn't recruiting NFL players. Like, they're not – I don't think Tulsa's defensive front is much more intimidating than Austin Peay's. So if Tulsa could manhandle them, I think we should be able to. And obviously making Stone Earl uncomfortable is going to be a key part of the game. And then, like you said, I mean, on offense – I think it's kind of, you know, people might think it's a cop-out, but if we win, I can almost guarantee you Chris Parson had a really good game. So Chris Parson and the defensive line, that's – you got to win the battles in the trenches. And I want to see Parson make some plays with his legs. Just don't turn the ball over. Make plays with your legs.
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, they're – our defensive line against our offensive line. You know, I'd love to see them get to the quarterback 3-4 times, add on to that sack total. So,
yeah, there's been, you know, we've had some plays. I mean, we've had sacks. I mean, we got after Middle Tennessee a little bit. I think we had 4 or 5 in that game. But if you do that here, if we can make Middle Tennessee's quarterback in play in hell, we should be able to do that to Abilene. So,
yeah. Yeah, if you can shut down their run, it's going to force them to throw. And we've seen what guys like Ellis can do. So, I think that's a good one on coming from your side. You know, there, if they can shut that run game down, force them to throw it, that can only be good things for the guys, in my opinion.
So, well, what's your prediction? We both got pretty close last week. So,
yeah. I'm going to go 38-31.
P?
Yeah. Austin Peay. Sorry. That's the most important part. I apologize.
Shootout. I like it. So, I actually think we can get – I do think we can get after the quarterback. I think we can make his life difficult. I actually think – we'll keep them a little bit lower than that. I think 27-21.
Austin
Peay? Yep. Yeah, I just did the same thing. Yes, definitely Austin Peay. I think we'll get out of there. Maybe a couple clutch kicks from Carson, you know. We'll get out of there with a win. Hard-fought win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way.
No, I think, you know, it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a shootout. So maybe last possession wins type of game. So hopefully it's the goes.
All right. So we'll go to – so you have this 3-1 heading back to home with 2 winnable games. You got to be thrilled with that.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll Let's look around the UAC. We'll end on that.
I actually had that pulled up.
All right, go through it.
Going by order of what time the kickoffs are. North Alabama's at Illinois State.
That's
a loss for, in my opinion. Yep. Chattanooga at Tarleton. I mean, until somebody beats Tarleton, I won't pick them every time.
Yeah, it's hard not to right now.
A game that looks really intriguing. If it wasn't for our game, I would say this would be one of the most intriguing games in FCS this weekend. Eastern at West Georgia.
Yeah.
Eastern Kentucky at West Georgia.
I think that's a good litmus test for West Georgia.
Yep.
Are they for real? If they handle East Kentucky, that's going to be kind of scary, to be honest with you.
We have to remind ourselves, West Georgia is not playoff eligibility this year, unfortunately for them.
Yeah. Well, we didn't think it would matter.
We did not think it would matter, but that does have to be said. They are 3-0. So, Northern Iowa is at Utah Tech. The way Utah Tech's been playing, that's a toss-up, in my opinion.
Yeah, Utah Tech has been – I mean, they could easily be 2-1 instead of 0-3.
Yeah.
Central Arkansas, that game, I think Central Arkansas is going to get absolutely blasted. Sacramento State has had kind of a disappointing start to the year. Central Arkansas just doesn't look like Central Arkansas.
Yeah, I don't know. They got blown out last week. Now they got to go cross country. Nobody's really giving them a shot. Maybe they show a little fight after getting their butt whooped last week. So I still think Sacramento State wins, but I think it's a little closer than what a lot of people are expecting.
That Southern Utah UC Davis will be a good one to watch.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, you know, Southern Utah, they were in that shootout with Northern Arizona last week, 52-49 loss, easily could have been a win. And then UC Davis, top 10 team. So, if Southern Utah can go in to UC Davis, get a win, that'd be a big one for the conference. Big conference win.
What about – so do you don't think Chattanooga – I mean, I know you don't want to pick against Tarleton, but I think that is going to be a slightly tough game. I mean, Chattanooga's, you know, perpetual contenders. So that would be another – they are 1-2 this year, but if you look at their schedule, I mean, they lost to Memphis, which is understandable, and then they lost to Tennessee Tech, who is a freaking – have you kept up with Tennessee Tech?
I actually watched that Tennessee Tech Chattanooga game, which is why I said what I said about Tarleton. Chattanooga did not look good in that game at all.
Okay.
It was raining that day too. So, I mean, I think that, you know, you can say what you want, no matter how good or bad you are. If it's raining, pouring out rain, that's going to be a tough game for either team.
Is it supposed to be raining?
No, it did in the Chattanooga and Tennessee Tech game.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, Tennessee Tech's offense is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, they're at the top of the FCS in, like, every category.
Yeah. It's definitely not the Tennessee Tech that we're used to seeing the last decade or so. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're definitely a solid team.
Yeah, and if
they're – it would be nice – you know, I'm not the biggest Chattanooga fan by any means, but it would be nice to see – Chattanooga get a win there, get an upset win.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be for it, but unfortunately for them, I just don't see it happening. Tarleton is just a another story. They are very good.
Have you seen the? Okay, so there's a subreddit for the FCS, and it's FCS Sportsbook. And it's not, like, official or anything. But, you know, like, FCS lines, like, betting lines don't come out until the day of the game. So, the FCS sports book is, like, some guy came up with his own formula to, like, generate what the lines would be if they were available. Do you want to know what the line for our game is?
I think I heard this the other day. Was it 13.5?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't know if I like that.
I mean –
I like it, but I don't, you know.
I mean, I hope it's right. I mean, but you got to factor, like, how many points is an FCS home field worth? Like, 2 probably? So, on a neutral field, you're saying that Austin Peay's 15.5 points better than Abilene? I don't know about – I mean, Gov's by a million. Listen, like, Gov's by a million. But I just thought that was interesting. So,
yeah, I read that somewhere earlier this week, and yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. And it's not that I don't think it can happen. I mean, it can very well happen, but it's just kind of a, you know, I'm trying to think of a time where the Govs have ever been that big of a favorite on the road.
On the road ever. Against a ranked team.
Against a ranked team, yeah. So, yeah, that kind of caught me off guard as well. So
I think
I'm glad somebody thinks so.
It's interesting for sure, I think. And then, you know, we'll see how it plays. We'll see how it goes on the field, though. I mean, you can't This is not betting advice by any means. Yeah, anything else you want to get out there? Kickoff Saturday at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus, Wildcat Stadium. It'll be a good one.
Yeah. Let's go pee. Hope they can, this will be a big win early in the season. So, you know, hopefully they can get a win, get the crowd back at Forterra next week against Utah Tech and have that place rocking.
Let's go pee.
Let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.